Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom on the show tonight. Many across the world remain shocked at the assassination attempt on the former US President Donald Trump. Trump, who was shot at by a sniper yesterday, has had a chunk of his ear blown off. He also has a large bruise on his forearm that he got from hitting the ground. On the show tonight, what is the latest on the investigations? How could a 20-year-old man, Thomas Matthew Crooks, get just 130 meters away from Trump by breaching multiple layers of security? And what's the political fallout of all of this? Let's go straight across to our panel. We are joined by Neha Dewan, co-national director of South Asians for Biden, Ravi Agarwal, editor-in-chief of Foreign Policy Magazine, Adel Malka Nazarian, an American media personality and political analyst. Thanks very much for being with us. We're also joined by Lisa Curtis and Puneet Ahluwalia. Let me go straight across now to Neha Dewan. Thanks, Neha, very much for being with us. At this juncture, would you say, as a result of the unfortunate developments yesterday, that the entire election process leading up to the next elections in the United States has been skewed, that there is, in a sense, a wave riding in favor of the former president, Mr. Trump, as a result of what has taken place?
First of all, thank you for having me. I don't think that the election is skewed in his favor at this point. Obviously, we're very sad about what happened. I don't think anybody should have to experience that, regardless of where you are across the aisle. I do think that the American people will vote on the issues. You know, his base will certainly, vote his base and, you know, will be united. And I think that the Democrats will also be united around the platform that they have. But, I don't think that this is going to be the defining moment for the elections.
All right. We're joined also by Catherine Gibson. Thanks very much, Catherine, for being with us. Catherine, covering the Republican convention in Milwaukee, which is going on. Catherine, firstly, to the larger story, is there any further clarity or information on the motive of the shooter? Why exactly did he do this? Was he part of something larger?
That is something that still remains very much unknown at this point, as delegates, media, and President Trump himself gather here in Milwaukee. Right behind me is the convention center where President Donald Trump is expected to speak this evening. He's told news media here in Milwaukee that he is going to be announcing his vice presidential pick this evening. But even as he does that, even as we see him for the first time speaking since that assassination attempt, we still don't know why that shooter wanted to kill him.
And Catherine, do we know about former President Trump's condition? Because I've read a couple of interviews now coming in that, you know, a part of his ear has actually been blown off. I mean, is that what you're hearing as well?
We don't have a certain sense of exactly the state of condition of his ear. We're obviously going to know more when he comes out on that convention stage this evening. But by all accounts, the hospital, the Secret Service, Trump's campaign itself has said that the president is well. We have seen him walking off the plane when he landed here in Milwaukee. He is in good shape now, despite whatever may have happened to his ear.
Catherine, there was also news of explosives being found in the car that the shooter was using. And I think there were investigations. There would have been investigations at his house as well. Any further leads over there in terms of information?
That's right. It's still at a very early stage in the investigation in terms of looking at those explosives that were found in that car outside the rally in Pennsylvania. What I can tell you is that here in Milwaukee, with President Donald Trump here at the convention, security is even more tight than you could possibly imagine. This was already going to be a high security event by any standard. And now the Secret Service, the city of Milwaukee, are saying that they are doubling up those efforts to make sure that any incident like this doesn't happen again.
Let's talk a little bit about the Republican convention. It obviously comes on the back of this horrific incident. Politically, does that change things at the convention? Does it change things in terms of what former President Trump might be speaking about? And does it potentially change the direction of the elections?
That is the million-dollar question here in the United States. We really, at this historic moment, have no previous example of how this could impact an American election. Early in the 20th century, Theodore Roosevelt was shot just weeks before the election. He ended up losing it by 14 points. That, of course, was a very different time before there was new widespread broadcast media. Very, very different world. So we don't know how that's going to impact people's views. We, of course, saw that incredibly powerful image of the president raising his fist as Secret Service hurried him off of that rally stage, a sign that he was strong, a sign that he was not intimidated by the shooter. Many Trump supporters here in Milwaukee saying that that was an incredibly powerful image that will speak to American voters. But really, I think we want to be aware that this is still very early in the election season. We don't know how that's going to impact undecided voters who may have already been a little bit nervous about voting for the former president. So that is a key question here in Milwaukee this week.
Catherine Gibson, thanks so much for joining us and sharing all of those details. Thanks very much indeed. We're also joined by Ravi Agarwal, Editor-in-Chief of Foreign Policy at this stage. Ravi, thank you very much for being with us. Do we have any information or any word on the process of looking into the role of the Secret Service and also of agencies which were sort of manning the outer perimeter of former President Trump's security?
Well, President Biden has said that they're going to conduct a review, a formal review and investigation of what happened and also just in general how the Secret Service handles these kinds of incidents. What we know so far is that they had outsourced some of their activities there in Pennsylvania to local forces. But beyond that, we don't really know exactly what could have gone wrong that allowed this shooter to take up that position with an aerial advantage that gave him a clear line of shot to the president. Clearly a lapse. And clearly something that I think will lead to heightened security this week at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, and in the weeks and months to come leading into this very fraught and polarized election.
What do we know about Thomas Matthew Crooks?
Very little, actually. I mean, we know his age. He's 20. We know that he is a registered Republican. But beyond that, we actually have very few details about his background and history. And I think crucially, and this is why it's important to not read too much into these things, we don't have a motive.
Yeah.
After the fact, it's very difficult to try and gauge why someone did something like this. The why is always very difficult unless you have a clear written manifesto. And we don't have that. We don't have any indication that he had told people or allies or friends that he was looking to do something like this. Again, we may unearth more details in the days to come. But for now, we just know that, you know, this is a very sad moment for the United States, but also just to put this in context, not an unusual one. Yeah. The United States has a long history of political violence going back to leaders, you know, a century or two ago. If you think of Lincoln all the way through to Kennedy, presidents who have been assassinated, and then many other would-be presidents, candidates who have been shot at. And this also is a reminder of the immense gun problem in the United States, where you essentially, through the unfettered sale of guns, and not just normal guns, but assault weapons and assault rifles, that have essentially created the equivalent of a mass militia in the United States. So there are lots of angles to this, Vishnu, that are immensely worrying for America and a reminder of its bloody past.
In terms of the election campaign itself, I mean, I suppose it's inevitable for political discourse to change, and that's already started. Where does that leave the Republicans and where does that leave the Democrats from a broader political standpoint?
A lot depends in the next few days, Vishnu. You could have at the Republican National Convention, this could be a moment where Republican leaders say that enough is enough. We do not accept violence. We're not going to blame the other side or anyone in particular, because the reality is we do not know what this person's motivations were. So you could have a sensible, constrained response. You could also have the birth of conspiracy theories on social media. We are already beginning to see some signs of that, where people are blaming, quote unquote, the system, with implications that there were other people behind this. It's very important in a moment like this for the media to be incredibly responsible about what it knows and what it does not know. And just as important for leaders to look to calm tensions, calm the rhetoric, ask questions to which there are sensible answers, and not look to get ahead of the facts. A lot of that, I think, will play out in the next few days, whether America unites or whether it splinters around this act. You can look to other countries to see how they have responded to similar acts. Just in the last few years, in Slovakia, President Fico had an attempted assassination on him. Bolsonaro in Brazil. In Bolsonaro's case, he actually mobilized support around himself after the attempted attack on his life. So it'll be interesting to see how Trump uses this particular event. We saw him raise his fist saying fight in the seconds after the incident. So it'll be very interesting to see his speech, which reportedly he is rewriting as we speak at the Republican National Convention.
You know, that we live in an era where the power of video, the power of social media, and certainly the power of images is very strong. And I won't suggest, like some have done, that that one image of Trump with his fists clenched in the air, the flag above his head, Secret Service sort of surrounding him, can win him the election. But would you agree that, you know, I mean, the imagery is very strong in potentially triggering a wave in favor of the former president?
I don't know. I feel like this year alone, so many elections around the world have surprised us, whether it is India or Iran electing a reformist president, mm-hmm. or in France, the far left combining with centrists to fend off the far right. Elections and people around the world always surprise us. So it's very hard to predict, based on one thing, how they might react. The image you describe, it could have a rallying effect. It could also be a Rorschach test, in that people who oppose Trump might see in that image further reasons to oppose him. We just don't know how it's going to play out. We do know, however, that both sides will try to use this to their advantage. And I think for those of us in the media, you're a journalist, I'm a journalist, I think the most important thing for us to do now is to try and find ways to quell a moment of immense polarization and tension, and to also look at this week's Republican National Convention through that lens, to make sure that in our reporting of it, we focus on facts, and we try to make sure that we call out any instances of people trying to assert motives where there aren't, mm-hmm. And trying to attribute objectives where there aren't.
All right, Ravi Agarwal, wonderful speaking to you as always. Thanks very much. Let me go straight across to Adel Malka Nazarian. Thanks, Adel, very much for being with us. You know, at some stage, the unanswered question is America's gun control laws. And, you know, it always seems to veer around to that. Is this yet another reminder that there's something terribly flawed in the system if a 20-year-old can get hold of an AR-15 rifle and shootings go on? Here's a former president who's been targeted, just about survived. And yet, ultimately, you know, there's nothing that can change a reality in America. Guns get bought all the time, really powerful ones at that.
You know, Vishnu, hi, great to be on with you. I have to say, I think that it depends on how you look at it. Second Amendment isn't going anywhere. It will be upheld and defended by, honestly, anyone that is holding the office of the presidency. Including Trump, including Trump. I have to tell you, I don't believe that he will change too drastically his stance on 2A. Although I will say America has very strong gun control laws. It's just a matter of how they're implemented. And frankly, they can try to gather, you know, barner up all the guns and try to collect them, it's not going to change the fact that the guns are not going away. They've been there since the inception of this country, and it's just part of America's, it's part of America, and it's America's so unique. But I will say this, I can point to dozens of incidents, not just in America, but across the world, where there have been individuals that have tried to carry out mass shootings. And the only reason they were stopped from killing dozens of more people or many more people is because there was in the audience, in that crowd, someone else that had a gun and was able to neutralize and stop the aggressor. So there's always two sides to the story. It just depends on what, you know, we're all in the media looking to present.
Lisa, I'm not at all in favor of any of the conspiracy theories, but just as a matter of fact, is there any further clarity on why the Secret Service sharpshooters didn't take out the sniper just 130-odd meters away from them earlier than they did?
Well, I think we really do need to look at the facts and not buy into some of these conspiracy theories, which are coming from both sides. Some saying it was staged, others, as you were asserting, that there was an intended lapse of security. That said, I think the Secret Service has a lot of explaining to do. The fact that that building was not, you know, locked down, secured, and that somebody was able to get on top of that building and take those shots does show a lapse. And there will be a lot of questions asked moving forward. Congress has already indicated they're going to hold hearings. There's already many, many questions that are being asked. So I think, you know, this says two things. Moving forward, they're going to have to be more careful. They're going to have to put in more fail safes. They're going to have to put in more resources to protecting all of these campaign rallies, both the president's and the former president's. So I think that's very important. I think we've already seen indications that this is happening. But I think, you know, at the same time, we shouldn't allow ourselves to, give any heed to some of these conspiracy theories. I mean, let's face it, that bullet, missed, you know, either killing or gravely injuring former President Trump by millimeters.
Yeah.
This is not something that, would be allowed to happen. There's not an intentional lapse of security. This was, you know, thankfully, a near miss, although, you know, an innocent bystander did lose their life, and, two people are gravely injured still in the hospital. So this was a significant tragedy. But I do think that it did also show, President Trump's, you know, strength and fortitude. We can't deny that. Even people who may not be supporters of Trump have to be impressed with the way he managed
powerful
himself
moment, Lisa. No
during
two ways
this crisis.
About that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Incredibly powerful. The video shows it completely. The photographs show it completely. Be that as it may, is it not, Lisa, in your opinion, incredibly frustrating? And I realize that there's a process, but 24 hours later, we still don't know motive. We still don't know very, very much about this 20-year-old. We still don't know whether he was trained to use an AR-15 rifle or whether he was part of something larger. Was he disturbed as a child in school? Apparently, he was bullied in school. But again, some of this is conjecture. Some of this is half-baked information. Is it not frustrating that 24 hours later, at least some more information would have come our way in terms of knowing or understanding the motive?
Well, I don't think it's that surprising. I think we will know motive. We will know more. We just need to give it some more time. What we do know, very young person, 20 years old, you know, he's under 21. It was his father's gun, apparently. And we know that he was quiet in high school. So there could be mental illness involved. I think this is something that hasn't been explored yet, but, you know, given there is mental health crisis for our young men here in the United States, that's something that's going to have to be looked at. And I think the one question I have is, pretty good marksmanship if you think about it, being so far away and coming so close to, you know, to actually carrying out the assassination. So, you know, all of these things have to be looked at. But for me, the major question again is, how did he get access to this building that was so close to former President Trump? And that's something that the U.S. Secret Service must explain.
Puneet Ahluwalia, as a former Republican candidate for the post of lieutenant governor in Virginia, in terms of what the Republican Party is thinking right now, A, there must be a sense of deep shock. B, and be frank with us, is there a sense that this is a huge opportunity to take advantage of to further Donald Trump's cause ahead of the elections?
Vishnu, we are focused on getting back America to be the great nation it is, and that's the reason why President Trump is running. I also believe that President Trump, in his message, that he wants to unify the United States. That's the key thing that we have to focus on. Bring back the strength of the United States internationally, nationally. At the same time, it should also be about taking care of its people. We have crisis in our nation with inflation, immigration, you name it. We have been confronted on multiple fronts. And that's what President Trump is, why he's running. At the same time, again, God's grace, he's saved. Unfortunately, we lost a life, a firefighter, a first responder. But I think it's a time for us to unify our nation and be the dominant force, and most importantly, a beacon of hope and democracy around the world. I think that's our focus, and we'll get back our nation. Thanks to President Trump. We are all behind him and moving forward.
Adele, how does this play out for the Democrats?
You know, I have to say, I think that what occurred on Saturday just made a decision. The undecided voters, the middle part of the voting electorate, that the constituents that haven't decided, I have a feeling that the majority of them are now going to vote for Trump. I think that the Democrats are facing their own serious crisis with President Biden, who is clearly not cognizant to be able to run the country to the level, cognizant to the level he needs to be to run the country for four more years. I think it's too late for them to really switch the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party at this point. Kamala Harris has enough name ID, but I don't think she has what it takes to beat Trump. I think that they are literally facing a crisis of consciousness. I think they're going to end up having to stick with Biden and pushing through. And I think they know that Trump probably has now, at this point, the election in the bag. I wouldn't have said this a month ago. I wouldn't have said this a year ago. You wouldn't ask me a year ago, a month ago, a few days ago, who's going to win the election. I said Trump probably will get very close, won't be able to eke it out. The margin of error is a little bit too small. But I believe after the incidents that have occurred, the grace of God, I mean, I have to say, the shooter was, thank goodness, not a trained marksman, or we would be having and telling a very different narrative today. We may no longer have Donald Trump with us today if he was a trained shooter.
Yeah.
So we have to be very grateful for that fact. And I think you can take a look at the crisis of, you know, mental illness. That is definitely a crisis throughout the country and the world. But at the end of the day, we cannot ignore the fact that the Democratic Party, President Biden, anyone who despises Trump so much has been fanning the flames of hatred. And the rhetoric that's coming out of their mouths has been inciting this kind of violence. You have Jack Black on Tenacious D just going on stage and saying that they hope next time they don't miss and that Trump actually dies. This is what the world's dealing with. Yeah. Young, impressionable teenagers that are getting influenced to actually go out there and kill people that they don't agree with politically and ideologically.
Sure. Neha, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that couldn't be further from the truth. We don't know what the motive is. So to say that, you know, people are coming out and saying that this should have happened is ludicrous. The fact that, you know, that there was a assassination attempt and that's going to unite the undecided voters for him is also ridiculous. When President Trump was convicted of 34 felonies, that switch the needle for 7% of the undecided voters. But does that mean that that's going to seal the election for either party? Absolutely not. And, you know, if you want to start talking about gun laws in this country, I mean, there's four states in this country where you can buy ammunition in vending machines. Right. And we can't just look to mental health every single time. We look to why does this person have an assault rifle? Where is that coming from? I mean, there's a lot of different questions, but to say that this is in the bag just by what happened is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, I do think this is a few months away from the election and there's a lot of issues at hand. President Trump decided in 2020 that he was going to run in 2024. So this has nothing to do with, oh, well, this is what the country has been experiencing for the last few years. This is what he was going to do. Okay. And, you know, President Biden believes that he is, you know, the best candidate for the job and he wants to finish what there is left to do. And at this point, it's just too early to say. The polls are very close in battleground states, but it's not a done deal just yet.
All right. Mr. But I'd like to thank
Sorry,
Puneet, you had a point to make? You've got 30 seconds before I start wrapping this up. Puneet, go ahead.
The Republicans are charged enough, but at the same time, the Democrats are not just going to sit idle and let us take the win. It's important for us to all of us to come together and, more importantly, get the country back on track. And that's what President Trump is looking to do. And I believe that people, as Neha said, 30 days or 15 days before election is still too long a time. So, again, we all have to stay focused and winning this election and getting this country.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break at this stage. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us.